Hi, Lynn.
And I just realized I forgot to start the video. All I would say is make if you want to do just a summary.
Sure, I can do that. So we didn't get that far, so no worries. Thank you for catching that. So yeah. This is just about how we express and perceive energy in force, space, or time. I don't know why I'm blanking on another example here.
So I was thinking of Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
I see her as strong and angular and sudden.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Jessica, you have one?
I was thinking Maya Angelou.
Ah, okay.
I was going to say soft at first, but she's strong, curved, mm-hmm. and gradual to me.
Yeah, good. Great example. Okay, so we can kind of assess ourselves that way. So when we do our check-in in a couple of minutes, I want you to be thinking of what you are and ask you to share that with us. What are you predominantly in force, space, and time? For myself, I would probably say force would be more soft, probably except when I'm teaching. So in space, probably more curved, and in time, probably more gradual. That's just for me. Okay. So the interactive expression of energy in relationships. So each one of these, push, pull, stop, and allow, has a force, space, and time component, right? So for push would probably be more predominantly strong, right? And in time, it would probably be more sudden, although it could also be gradual. We could be a gradual push, a push of our energy. And it's strong, right? Pull would be more probably soft. And in time, more gradual. So you get the idea, right? Each one of these breaks down into force, space, and time. But this is what shows up more push, pull, stop, and allow in the way that we interact with other people. So when you think about your different relationships, like, so for example, when my grandparents were alive, which they're not now, but when they were, I used to go and visit them every week, and there would be such a pull. When are we going to see you again? You're only coming once a week. Can't we see you more? There was always this pull energy. You know, growing up in a Jewish household, it was, oh, don't you like my cooking? Eat some more, right? So there was a pull energy that would come in that relationship with them. For those of you who are parents who have kids, you have experienced pull energy a lot with your children, right? Mom, pick me up, you know, mom, you know, I want a cookie, mom, you know, so that's the pull energy, right? The stop energy is when we really feel stubborn, when we just dig in our heels, when we refuse to do something or we don't want to cooperate, or we pretend to cooperate, but really internally, we feel nothing but a stop. Say, you want to go out to dinner? Sure. Where do you want to go? I don't care. You pick. Right? But so all the words might be saying, yes, I'll go with you. But the energy is completely in stop. So I remember I had a relationship with a guy I dated for a while that was like that. You know, it's like there was just all such a frequent stop in him. Where should we go? I don't care. Okay. Do you like this kind of food? Yeah. Doesn't matter to me. Right? So there was just such a stop energy behind, so we would go, right, but the feeling behind it was just this big stop. Or we can be in allow, right, and allow means allowing our energy to be in flow, to be open, to be receptive, and also giving, so it's a give and take. Now, push, pull, stop, and allow can be used both defensively and also in a positive way. So we're going to look at that too in a minute. All right, so push energy. So we've all seen and experienced fights like this, right? Conversations like this, arguments like this, where both of us are in push. You see it if you've got kids, if you've got a couple of kids, if you as a kid, as a sibling, remember doing this with your siblings. I certainly do, you know, when I was a kid, had this kind of push energy in your face. And we know how unproductive that can be, right? When two people are in push, nothing really productive usually comes out of that when we're in the defensive mode of push. But we can also be in a very positive mode of push where we use our energy to push a project to completion, where we use our push energy to motivate other people who are in apathy into completion. When you know, if you're, again, as a parent, and you know you have to push your kids to complete something, to get something done that they don't want to do, you have to push yourself. You know, I got to go clean the dishes. I don't feel like cleaning it. I got to push myself to go wash the dishes. Okay, so we know push mode when it's used productively, and also when it's used aggressively or destructively. Okay, push and stop. So here's what push and stop can look like, right? So this man is certainly in a push mode, right? In a pretty angry, charged push mode. And you can see the hands on the hips and the stop going on there, right? So so this is the interactive dynamics of push and stop. We have push and pull, right? So I like this picture because it actually depicts the energetics, right? The energy, we actually pull our energy from the front chakras into the spine, into the will chakras, into the will centers in the back. We pull our energy into the back, and then we pull it up our spine, out the top of our head, and grab the other person. And I, you know, there's sayings that sort of depict that, right? You know, when like we might say to somebody, you know, I feel like I got hooked by that person. I got hooked. That's actually an energetic hook that we're responding to. Yeah, you got hooked. You got hooked right in to their, to their manipulate, or I feel manipulated. I got hooked. There's an energetic that comes in. We often don't perceive it or sense it initially until later on, and we go, oh my God, I agreed to do this thing that I don't want to do. So this is a really nice energetic depiction of push energy. And this is a nice depiction of pull energy. So he's got energy cords coming out of his solar plexus chakra. What do we know about the solar plexus chakra? You haven't gotten that far yet in the book, but you'll learn more about that in the next chapter, where this is about interpersonal relationships, right? We know these sayings like, I got butterflies in my stomach, right? These are energetic, energy feelings that we're having, energy sensations we're having. I just had this conversation. It made me feel sick to my stomach. You know, I just feel like that person just ripped my guts out. These are energy descriptions of experiences that we're having, of real energy experiences that we're having. They're not fake. They're not made up. They're actually sensations that we are experiencing in our body. So this person is going more, you could say, covertly trying to do a pull, an energy pull from her. She doesn't like it, so she's going into a pushback here. So it might sound something like this. You know, I really need you to come with me. I want you to, help me out. I want you to come with me to the doctor today. You know, we've already been through this. So she might respond, we've already been through this. I've gone with you a million times. I already told you that I've got a really important meeting scheduled today. I'm not going. Yeah, but I really need you. And so, right. So does this dynamic resonate with anybody? Anybody ever experienced anything like that in your life? Okay. Push and pull. So what have we got here? Anybody want to take a guess? What's he doing?
I think he's pulling.
He's pulling.
Yeah.
He's stopping.
Yeah, we got a really clear pull and stop. So how many conversations have you had like this? Where you could be one or the other, right? In pull or in stop. Okay, and what have we got here? See his posture. What's that?
Pull and push.
Well, I would say we've got a push here, right? Yeah, I would say we've got to put. He's leaning in. He's leaning forward. You can see his eyes are pretty intensely in there, and she looks a little bit more in allow here, right? So we've got a push and allow. We've got a pull and a stop, right? So we're always doing one of these things, push, pull, stop, or allow in every interaction that we have. So we want to start paying attention to what's your MO. And with certain relationships and certain people, you might find yourself more in push. With other people, you might find yourself more in stop. With other people, you might find yourself more in allow. And relationships change when we change our energy response to them. Okay, this is a great example of enmeshed energy. I don't know why I threw this in here. She's got a real pull going on, right? And I know why I threw this in, because now we're going to talk about boundaries. We're going to talk about boundaries. So this is a real enmeshed energy. You can see her stop. And this is almost like a pull away, like, get me out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. And this is a real needy, like, oh, no, right? So, you know, we've all sat in both of these seats, I am sure, at various times and in various relationships. But this is poor energy boundaries here. She's not really speaking up about her own needs. She's probably not being very direct about hers. So this is enmeshed energy around boundaries. So energy boundaries. So when we talked through this section on energy boundaries in the book, it's a really interesting piece, because how I asked you in your homework to check off the boundaries that you are good at and or the ones that you are not so good at. So if you take a look in your book at that chapter 7 now on boundaries, if you have it handy, you can touch it really quickly now. But when we do our check-in, I'm going to want to ask you, where do you feel like you have, like, what's one boundary you're really good at, and what's one where you really might be still struggling? So, okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. So healthy energy boundary. In every relationship, there's a me. So I like this picture because it shows the auric field of a nice energy boundary that defines me. This is me, and this is me over here. And this is us. So in every relationship, there's a me, a you, and an us. What happens in enmeshed relationships is there's just an us. There's no me. And I start letting go of my integrity or my boundaries or my needs, over compromising in ways that go against my integrity, because I am more concerned about the us. When really every relationship is a threesome, right? It's the us and the two individuals. And that's a healthy relationship. So now there's all this, just in the last decade or so, there's all this sort of consciousness coming about around codependency and codependent relationships. And that's where we lose the me. We lose the me in relationship. We just merge into the us. This is really important for us as practitioners, to be able to distinguish what I'm responsible for with my client and what I'm not responsible for. I have a responsibility to my clients. I have a responsibility to my children. I have a responsibility to my spouse. I have a responsibility to my boss. I have a responsibility to my employees, but I am not responsible for any of them. So there's a subtle difference between responsible for and responsible to. I am not responsible for my children. I am responsible to them, to raise them properly, to make sure they're safe. I'm responsible to do those things, but I am not responsible for them. I am not responsible for another person's decisions I do have a responsibility to my friend to return their phone call, but I'm not responsible for them if they decide they don't want to talk to me. Okay. Or if they feel hurt about something I did, that is their experience. It's not mine. Okay. So this is where we really get some confusion that comes in. So healthy boundaries originate in our center, in our essential self. So wherever we get enmeshed in a relationship, we've lost some part of our own sense of self, our own sense of self-separation or self-individuation, I'd rather use that word, self-individuation as a whole human being, as a whole entity separate from our partner or our friend or our child or whoever it is that we're in a relationship with. Okay, questions? Yes, Angelica.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to review something about the chakras. You talked about the front opening and the back opening, but I looked at the diagram in earlier chapters, and it looks like all the chakras except for 1 and 7, they have both a front and a back.
Correct.
Could you just clarify what we mean by like the solar plexus chakra pulling back into the spine? I'm kind of not understanding that
yes.
thing.
Yeah, good question. Okay. So the solar plexus has two openings, one in the front and one in the back. So when we feel feelings with somebody, like, so all the front, all the chakras in those openings are related to different sensations, qualities of sensations. So the front chakras are feeling centers, emotional centers. So when we hug somebody, we hug front to front, right? Because it feels good. We don't hug back to back in our culture. We hug front to front, right? Because it feels good. So when I have a feeling that I don't like feeling, or that's uncomfortable, or that's scary, then oftentimes what I will do is I will pull the energy from the front into the back, because I don't want to feel that. So when someone says, I feel numb, for example, or I don't feel anything, or I feel cut off, what they've often done is they've pulled the energy from feeling anything, or if they feel too overwhelmed, they'll put an energetic stop to that feeling and they'll retract that energy back into their spine so that they don't have to feel. And then what will happen is the rear chakras will get really big because all of that front energy is pulled back, and they might end up with being prone to backaches because of it. Is that helpful?
I'm starting to get it. So I guess my question is it healthy to, like, let's take the solar plexus chakra again. Is it healthy to express it both in the front and in the back?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Could you give me an example, though, of, like, what would be for solar plexus? What would be a front expression? What would be a back?
Yeah, so good. Good question. So an expression of the solar plexus from the front might be, I love you. I really love you. And this expression of the solar plexus from the back might be, I love you and I'm going to build you, that back deck that you've been wanting. I'm going to take it into will. I'm going to take it into action. I'll give you another example that would be more just for oneself, right? I feel happy. That could be an expression in the front of the chakra. And in the back, it would be, I feel so happy that I'm going to start on that exercise routine I've been avoiding for, 6 months. I'm going to start exercising today. So I'm going to take that because I know my body needs it. My health needs it. So it has to do more with will energy. Okay? Great. Thanks for those questions. Any other questions? Yeah.
So we often hear about a strong-willed child. Is this a child who has, for lack of a better word on my part, an imbalance. And so as we work with, whether as we interact with, whether it's our own child or somebody who's come to us, that we help to get them more into that feeling mode.
So yes.
There is that balance.
Yes, I love that. And one question I would ask is why is that would come to my mind immediately is about safety to feel. Like what's going on that the child might not be expressing. They in their willfulness, they might be able to express their anger, but they might really be scared underneath that, right? Because what's anger usually cover up but fear? Yeah. Good. Thank you, Lynn, for that question. Other questions?
I have questions.
Yeah.
Does intuition fit anywhere into this emotion, reason, and will, and how does that work?
Yeah, it does. So intuition, we can have intuition is especially developed through the sixth and seventh chakras, right? The intuitive, the sight, what we sometimes call the third eye or the psychic eye, right? The sixth chakra and the crown. However, there's intuition that can come through intuition through every chakra. There's intuitive feeling senses through every chakra. So intuition is a natural part of every being. Some people don't like that word, then they won't use it, but nonetheless, they are intuitive. Like, okay, so every time a doctor palpates your body to feel what's going on with your organs, they're going to say, oh, I palpated your body and you got a little something going on over here in your, you know, liver or in your kidney. That's intuition. They don't use that word, but they're not, you know, they can't stick their fingers all the way into your liver, but they're palpating. They've palpated 500 or thousands of livers before. They can feel what's going on there. They've developed their intuition. You got a builder, you know, a construction worker who works on buildings. And, you know, he has a gut feeling. I got this gut feeling that something bad's going to happen here. And they go walk the site and they find out, oh, there's a beam off here. I knew it. They're not going to go, I'm intuitive. I just meditated and tapped into that, right? But it's all still the same thing. They just have different vocabulary for it.
Can I liken that to the practitioners?
Yeah, hold on for one moment, Lynn. Because I want to hear that. But Heidi, did you have something else that you wanted to respond to for that?
Well, I just wanted to ask how that worked. Let's say how that works in with, say, Angelica's question. You were talking about the chakra and the, you know, being either the emotion or the will of it. If you were primarily sort of thinking of that as intuition, would it be coming from both?
I'm not sure I'm clear on your question.
I guess I'm thinking because if you're asking the question a lot, like, okay, so you're happy about something, right? That's, you're saying that's the front, that's the emotion. Mm-hmm. But now I'm expressing my happiness by going and building something, that's the will. What if I'm just simply intuiting something, is that in the front, back, head, all three? Where are we talking now?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to guess that you're probably thinking of the sixth chakra, the, you know, which is the psychic center, right? Where I have an intuition. And so this chakra is very much about the development of our intuition. And you could say this level of intuition taps into the higher frequencies or higher levels of the field. So when we think about people who are psychics or channelers or something like that, they are really usually, or they can see dead people or talk to spirit guides or whatever. They have a very developed sixth chakra, most of those people.
Okay.
Is that answering?
Well, I'm just thinking in terms of push, pull, stop, and allow and stuff like that. If I'm thinking uh-huh. about how or any of these force, space, or time, and, you know, let's say I'm working with a client and I'm just sort of maybe the intuitive space is in the allow, I guess. I mean, if I'm working with them and I'm not really feeling like I'm in so much the emotional or the reasoning or even the will space. I'm just sort of letting things flow around through, and then I get some insights and then act on it with the client. So I'm just trying to figure out as you ask some of these questions, I spend a lot of time, at least with clients, in a very intuitive space. So
yeah.
I was trying to figure out how to relate to the questions you're asking with that instead of emotions, reason, or will, which I use, but in some ways it feels like it's all three of them at once when I'm doing the intuitive thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because we are going to shift around. There are going to be times when you're going to go into your will with a client. There are going to be times when you are going to feel more emotional, where you might actually be crying with them about something. Mm-hmm. And you are, in your interaction with them, you're in allow. And we can feel it when we're with a client and we go into stop, or we get too pushy and they go into stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So, good. Thank you for those examples, Heidi. I think you're right on.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Lynn.
As you were talking before about how we have these intuitive pieces, not just in our third eye, it reminded me of how we have hormones all over our body. We have bacteria all over our body. And so there's that similarity that we have with these intuitive senses within the different parts of our body. We're not, it's just everything is connected. It's an integrated whole. And I just wanted to share that because I find it fascinating as I continue to learn layer upon layer about how all these pieces of our body work together.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah. Sounds like that there could be more to expound on in that regard. So I'd love to hear more thoughts about that as they percolate up for you. Thanks for that. Okay. Any other questions? So let's hear what you are in, what's your predominance in force, space, and time? Any questions that you have or other thoughts that you have about, boundaries, where are you strong? Where do you need to grow in your boundaries? What came up for you just sort of in this little review that we just did? So Jessica, do you want to start us out?
Sure. So I believe I am strong, angular, and sudden. And what's interesting, I'm finding that I'm judging that. So that's just interesting. I think in terms of boundaries, I'm very good at maintaining personal values, personal integrity. That moral compass is really important to me, and defending that comes very easily. Where I'm struggling, but I'm a work in progress, is the people pleasing. Making myself small, or not speaking my truth and standing up for myself consistently, because I don't want to upset people or make them feel bad, or that mm-hmm. all that people pleasing kind of yuck. But I'm a work in progress.
Great. Thank you for that. And I'd love you to, as we go forward, to think about, where in your body do you feel that when you go into people pleasing? What chakra might that be connected to, where I need to strengthen that? And or what spiritual principle do I need to strengthen that sense of essential self, right? That individuation. So.
Oh, I definitely know.
Oh, okay. Do you want to share it?
It's definitely the ability to accept love and accept. It's that balance. Someone showed it to me one time where like you give love out one side and then, you receive it. So it's like the even circle of energy, and I'm completely one side. I give, and I willingly give. I want to love on people, but receiving it back. is very hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It's not uncommon for, quote, people who are in the helping profession to have that difficulty, right? We're great at giving it out, and receiving it back is much more challenging. So when we go into the live retreat, the awakening retreat, we're going to do some experiential work where we start to actually learn the experience of receiving energy, allowing energy in. So working with allow for yourself in that regard, might to be mindful of that. Okay, how can I receive that in? So thanks for sharing that, Jessica. Okay, Valerie.
I think that I am soft, curved, and gradual. And for the healthy boundaries, I think I'm good at responding appropriately in different environments and relationships, respecting the structures of that culture or society. Mm. As far as what's weak, I think trusting my own decisions is a big one. So I don't know, that opens up a whole lot of cans of worms, including intuition.
Yeah, I love that for you. Okay, so trusting your understanding. And again, what chakra do you think that might be connected to for yourself, where there could be some strengthening? And again, when you know what the chakra is, you can go into the book, you can do those exercises perhaps, or look at the spiritual quality that it might be connected to, trusting your own decisions.
I'm still having trouble figuring out what chakras for these the emotional things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that I have difficulties in the root chakra.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good place to start. Yeah. And see, it's interesting because intuitively what came up for you was naming the root chakra. So, all right. Thank you, Valerie. Chris.
Well, you know, sometimes it just depends on the situation, but I think in general, my force is soft, my space is curved, and my time, I think it's gradual, although I move fast, but I don't move like sharply, but I move fast, so I'm not sure, but I think it's more gradual in that it's not like sharp. I don't know. Anyway, signs of a healthy boundary, I think that I respond appropriately in different environments and relationships, respecting the structure of that culture. I think that kind of I can relate to. Unhealthy is not asking for my needs to be met and expecting someone to meet them anyway.
Mm. Boy, I bet that's one a lot of people can relate to. Yeah, good, good, good. And any sense of what chakra that might be related to for you?
Well, I feel like I'm generally in my heart chakra. So I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So, and again, let's trust what just even came out of your mouth. I feel, right, so we know this is probably has to do with a feeling center, that it might have to do with the heart chakra. So let's just trust that for now. Interestingly enough, Valerie used the word I think, right? So we know you're predominantly reason type, right? Because it'll be reflected in our use of language, our predominance of what we are, of where we function most, reason, will, or emotion, will also be reflected in our language. Hmm. We're all singing the same song. I mean, one song. We're all singing one. We're holistic beings. So thank you, Chris, for that. Okay, Jan. Should we pass on you for now? Okay, all right. Debbie, I'd love to see if we can get you a little bit more. I think when you lean forward, we can, yes, then we can see you.
Yes, I just rely on the backrest too much.
That's all right.
Okay, so let's see. I'm looking at my notes. Force, I think soft. Space, I'm not sure, maybe angular. I'm not sure if I understand that too much, that what angular or curved means beyond the curve of our bodies. Or so I think I'm more angular. Time, I'm not sure. I think I'm gradual, but I'm not sure. Again, I really understood what that meant in time.
So just even in the rhythm with which you speak, I would probably say gradual. Right. So again, in the way words come out of our mouths, some people speak really quickly and they're very clipped. If you've ever been on an interview or listened to one of Dr. Rita Marie's programs, you know that that woman is fast. She's, you know, she's sudden in her movement, in her language, right? And other people speak more slowly, more gradually, and move more gradually from one space to another, one place to another. So, and this is not an exact science, you know, and again, there are times when we come out of those modes for many reasons.
Okay, so yeah, probably gradual.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, I think I'm good with boundaries and really respecting others and their, you know, respecting others and their boundaries. But I, where I get challenged, there was one about concentrating on your own pleasures and experiences rather than monitoring the reactions of others. I think I tend to forget kind of where I'm at and what I'm really wanting or feeling. And yeah, sometimes I lose sense of where I'm at in the picture.
Great awareness. So that sense of self that, that goes, any sense of where, what, where that might be connected to in the chakra system?
What part, that, that part of it?
And again, you don't, I'm asking this, these questions a little prematurely, so you don't have to answer right now, but when you get through, when you go to the next section on the chakras, see what comes up for you when you hold that one in your mind about how or where do I lose myself, my sense of self, you know, with
I think
that.
I have a thought.
Yeah.
I related a lot to the, this chakra. And I do have a lot of intuition through that chakra. So I think sometimes I'm pulling in so much information there, but not in the, what you were just saying, the sense of self, but more in the greater sense and pulling in.
Good. So. Yeah. So a lot of intuitive people don't have a terribly well-developed root chakra.
Yeah.
You know, we like to be up here in the heavens floating around and, you know, communing with the angels and the spirits and, you know, nature and stuff like that, and not necessarily in our body, in our physical body. So it's very important for people who are really well developed up here to also get really grounded and, you know, have a physical relationship with the earth and with their own physical body and, you know, exercise and be in touch with this thing, that this thing we walk around in.
Yeah, I need to look higher. That's where I need to balance it out more.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie. Okay, Angelica.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for me, I immediately thought I was force, strong, space, angular, time, sudden. And I think that with time, I feel that because I'm always so sudden, when I practice intentionally trying to be, and I discipline myself to be more gradual, I feel better when I like balance that out a little bit. So for my boundaries, I think I'm strong in maintaining personal values despite what others want. Concentrating on my own pleasures and experiences rather than monitoring the reactions of others. And I say this because like I'm always eating like different foods and doing different, you know, exercise, and I'm always on a different program than everyone else around me. I'm like, I care more about like my own goals than like going with the group. defining my truth as I see it, that too. Where I'm unhealthy is
believing others can anticipate my needs, not asking for my needs to be met and or expecting someone to meet them anyway, withholding true feelings for fear or belief it will bring about undesired outcome.
Good, good, good. Any sense of where that lives in your body?
Where does it live in my body? The not asking, the... I think it's a constriction, a contraction of the heart chakra. And also just, I'm more reason. It's more my reason centers, reasoning and saying, oh, no one's going to care if I need this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be a burden if I ask for this. Like, so-and-so doesn't want to hang out with me, so I'm just going to close it all.
Great, great awareness and great putting those together. So yeah, so this is really what as we start to open, like the first thing is just awareness. Oh, look at me rationalizing here my needs and then closing off this heart chakra. And then we begin to stick our toe in the water of, what would it be like if I actually start to open this and ask for that need to be met? And how, you know, why did I learn how to do that in the first place? What's going on with that? So beautiful. You know, and then just to back up for a minute, with the force, space, and time, I want to just add another comment for those of you who have practices, which I think quite a few of you do in here already. When you sit down, let's just say you are sudden, angular, and strong, and you've got a client who comes in who's gradual and curved and soft. And you come on like this because you're, you know, strong and you're sudden and you're angular. And they're like, oh, gosh, I don't know if I can do all of that. Right. So we want to be mindful that of what my tendencies are, what my pattern, what my sort of home nature. There's nothing wrong with either of these. And I love, Jessica, how you kind of caught yourself judging that, because there's no right or wrong. We're all wired in this beautiful, unique palette of expression, but what we want to be able to do is adapt or adjust if need be. You know, if somebody comes in and you've got a client who's like this, who's like really, you know, sudden and strong and forceful, and you're the gradual and soft, they're going to run all over you, or they're not going to respect you, right? So we're going to need to be able to, how do I adapt or adjust my energy so that my client can feel met or seen or understood by me? And this is what we go into a lot more in the awakening retreat, where we start to actually experience these interactively, where we start to work together with each other to see, how do I actually do that? So now you're getting introduced to the concept and the idea of it. And then that 3-day training will be the execution and the actual trying on of it. Okay. So we've sort of jumbled around the mouth, but Lynn, do you want to go next?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the permission to flow in between when it's needed. I mean, I do have a primary where I feel I'm soft, curved, and gradual, but as needed, I have permission to be more, well, I may not be Rita Marie fast, but I can be faster. Uh-huh. And, you know, so I have permission to move around, but I understand that at my core, these are who I am. And then I've been taking notes as I've listened to people. I've really learned from them. One thing that I'm really developing to understand is that I am not responsible for others. I am responsible to myself. And this is something that I'm really embracing right now to enmesh in myself and have that balance between my will and my feelings. And I think I have been more of an enmeshed person, and I'm learning to come out of that and to be more of a flow, and respecting my boundaries as well as other people's. Probably the unhealthy thing, and I'm hearing other people say this as well, is expecting other people to read my mind and take care of me. That, you know, why can't they see I'm working so much, and not ask me to work so much, and so not speaking up, and that comes from my my solar plexus, my personal power. So,
beautiful awareness. I love that. I love that, and I love that you're starting to experiment with, you know, different ways to assert yourself. And yes, permission to be sudden if you need to be sudden, or gradual if you need to be gradual, and that a connection of the solar plexus, and how might you be able to balance that, you know, maybe pull more energy into the, develop more energy into the rear of that chakra, the will center, to assert that self-care that you need. So thanks for sharing that, Lynn. Okay, let's see. Martha, why don't we jump over to you next? You're still on mute.
Hear me?
There we go.
Okay, great. Yes, I was late, so I'm listened enough. I think I know what I'm supposed to say, but I was made one way. I came into this world, I think, being soft and curvy and more gradual, but because I became an angry teenager, got into some bad habits, which was, you know, really a long time ago because of my age. But I think I became, because I felt like I was never heard, and which, you know, happens to people that become angry sometimes, that I became more forceful, angular, and sudden. But the beauty of life is through all of that, that I'm changing and been working on changing into the person I want to be, which is sometimes soft, like instead of coming at people with a spear, I'm coming with a tray of here's some cookies for you, let's talk, and more circular and linear, so that I can, you know, adapt to the situation. And then, of course, I'm an impulsive person, so I'm never going to be gradual. That part won't change. But I do try, because, you know, wisdom comes with age, try to be more considerate of the time and learning to listen to others more. Mm-hmm. And then going through the checklist of the unhealthy boundaries, I probably am guilty of all of them. But boundaries has been probably the biggest problem for me, and that was because I allowed too much. I was part of the drug culture as a teenager, and so, you know, when you get into that kind of habits, you know, you do tend to allow too much everywhere in your life. And so just trying to come back and, you know, look at what I can stop and allow has been a journey, and mainly more with feelings. I ended up in two very abusive marriages different ways, and just to come out of that and exist and be okay, I'm really proud of that.
Good for you. Yeah. I love that. I love that you're really seeing your progress in the boundaries. And, you know, boundaries can show up very overtly, and also boundary issues can show up very covertly, right? So let me give you an example of what I mean by that. In a practice where you might have a client and, you know, the hour is up, and, you know, 5 minutes before the hour is up, they tell you, you know, a whole new piece of information that's like really important, you know, and then, or they start crying hysterically, and it's 5 minutes till their time is up. And it's like, what do? You know, and do you let go of your boundaries, or how do you hold them graciously, and help the client contain, and yet be honorable and respectful to your time and theirs, and also the compensation and the agreements and, you know, all those policies and things that need to be in place for our practice. And of course, we will go over these more in future classes. But wherever you might have a boundary problem in your practice, is, again, a place that's a reflection of something that I still need to claim within my own, within my whole essential self. So thank you for those examples, Martha. That's great. Okay, Laura.
Hello. Hello. So it seems like I'm all of them and none of them, or all of them, like going between from one to the other and from the other back to the one, depending who I'm with or what stage in my life I'm at. So I can be pushy depending who I'm with, and I can be very soft. I am gradual. I think I learned to be more gradual because I used to be very upfront in the now, just saying my thought, but I had to learn to be gradual and allowing myself to feel hurt also put me more in the gradual mode. And I would love to be able to be open to everything, and you know, that's my dream. And just to be like a Buddha, no pain.
Nice goal.
Not take things personal, like be more open-minded. So unhealthy boundaries, trusting everyone and at times not trusting at all, and that comes from my past experience. I tend to open up quickly to people, but I, from having been hurt, I tend to open slowly. I notice when others like come through my boundaries, but sometimes I can't do anything about it. So maybe it's more of a feeling than noticing intellectually. Let's see. And more I notice when someone does invade my boundaries. So healthy boundaries in relationship. Yes, as I said, moving slowly in acquaintanceship. And I suppose all this comes from the first and third chakra. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they need to work.
Very good. Yes. Yeah. I think it's very, I love, first of all, thank you for sharing what you did. And I think it's a common issue that people who have been invaded in some way often have a harder time learning how to assert a boundary. And I love that you're starting to, as you said, it's more of a feeling than an intellectual knowing when a feeling comes for you. And I love that you're noticing that. So then the next step would be, okay, to use your reason. Okay, I'm having this feeling. Huh, what should I do? What do I need to do here to acknowledge this feeling, to maybe assert a boundary? Or what do I do with that feeling? So that's a great step toward conscious awareness. So really this work is all about making the subconscious cellular cells in our body conscious, right? Subconscious cellular healing has to do with making the subconscious conscious. So that's what's happening for you. So that's great. Thank you, Laura. Okay, let's go shoot over to Jill.
Okay, I am typically soft, curved, and gradual. Like some of other people have been saying, it can sometimes feel situational. So I raised 6 sons, and there were 16 years between the oldest and youngest. So I was mothering for 30 years. So when I was in that situation, I saw myself getting strong, sometimes angular. So that was interesting, and I see myself getting strong when I have a client come in and I'm in teaching mode. And being a grandparent and a mother of adult children is interesting. So I tend to go back to my soft, curved, gradual state, but I feel myself sometimes doing the pull thing. And I try to not do the pull thing. But there's, anyway, that's what I see happening sometimes. I feel I'm good at seeing the good in others and, respecting others and having compassion for others. What I just mentioned as far as weakness is I can be pulled into situations which causes me sometimes to go into confusion. So I think that's affecting my, 6th chakra and also my solar plexus, because it takes me off my grounded state. And that has caused me at times to go into distrust or stop or pull back. So I see myself staying in reason a lot. Which I think is a deflection in a way of emotion. I think that's what I'm doing.
I love that. And I think you are so right on target with that very last thing you said. It's a deflection of an emotion because, and this is true for it. I find this to be true. So this may be very useful. And if it makes sense, great. If not, we'll come back to it another time. But when we experience confusion, it's because we are avoiding a sensation. Mm-hmm. When we experience confusion, it's because we're avoiding a sensation. We don't want to feel that feeling, so we'll get confused. So it's a defense. Confusion is a defense. It's protecting us from feeling some kind of feeling sensation that feels subconsciously too dangerous for us to feel. Okay. So thanks for bringing that up, Jill. That's a really potent one for everybody. And I love that you caught yourself. You named that so beautifully, so clearly. So that will be the work to journey into that feeling and to slowly tiptoe your way into it to discover how you can manage it, how you can allow yourself to feel it safely now. So thanks for that. Okay. You guys are really awesome here. So Michelle.
Overall, I have what Jill just described with the soft and curvy and gradual. I can flip into the other side if I need to. And I feel like, isn't that sort of male, masculine, feminine energies, descriptions? Yeah?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
It seems like the soft heart, that kind of thing, is like masculine versus feminine, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly can be. We could certainly categorize it that way. Okay. Yeah, I mean, generically or you could say stereotypically.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I see myself leaning towards the feminine, but that masculine side definitely has its purpose and comes out when it needs to. If I had seen this list of healthy boundaries back in the day when I was married to my ex-husband, they would have been few and far between that I was living and understanding and feeling like I deserved. My life's done a 180, 360, not 360, that's back to the beginning. 180, and I'm able to practice so much of this with my current husband, Karen.
Beautiful.
I have a whole lineup. we were both people pleasers, and what's really been a beautiful growth process for both of us was 18, like clearly communicating your wants and needs while realizing they won't be met, because it's so scary to put yourself out there and say, I really want XYZ, and to know that they're not going to say, of course I'll do it because you want it. Like they, you know, like my husband looks inside himself, like example, he used to be a massage therapist. So sometimes I really need a massage, even if it's a short one. So I've learned to just, you know, in the beginning, I wouldn't even want to ask because he might say no. And now I'm like, I have a need. Where are you in terms of being willing and actively wanting to help me meet that need? And, you know, he'll be really, I mean, it's been huge for him because he would just yes, yes, yes in his last relationship. I said, fine, me you're practicing these healthy skills with? To be healthy and have boundaries. But yeah. So it's so interesting really living the life of healthy boundaries from both sides, you know, being on the recipient end of someone practicing healthy boundaries and not. So it'll be... is we've learned a new chance of like, how are you feeling? Do you have the energy to maybe give me a massage sometime this evening? And like, you know what? Yeah, like after I do blah, 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 I'd be happy to do it. So like I know if he's saying yes, he really wants to. And an ounce of him that he's giving away for the sake of me. Same thing with dishes, same thing with all of it. It's like really interesting space.
Yeah.
So I think healthy boundaries.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love that you worked hard to get here. And, you know, and the interesting thing is, right, is then if I get a no, like then there's now the ability to tolerate the no.
Yes.
Which is why we avoid in the first place, right? Because we just emotionally haven't learned how to tolerate the no that we might get by asking for our needs to be met. So this is the underlying why we resist or why some of us struggle with it. I'm afraid I haven't learned how or I don't know how to tolerate the feeling response I might get by asking this.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing that point out, Michelle. Good.
Very. And now then you build up a muscle for it. You learn that not taking it personally and honoring the other
person. Yes. Yeah, exactly. All right, Ruby.
Okay, just unmute myself. Okay, so it's a very interesting because in the beginning, I really experienced a lot of confusion to figure myself what is my fourth space and time. But then as hearing other people talking, I just come to this clarity. I think my natural, what I'm born with is that my force is naturally strong. My space is angular and time is sudden. But then I feel like because I think the whole experience is I'm moving to the U.S. and then like being the Asian females or whatever stereotypical things that I've learned, I think it's my survival mechanism thing to put me, like I just feel I need to be soft. I need to be, you know, like a gradual. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I feel because what I have adapted become my common way of being when I interact with, you know, outside world. And then so I feel that creates such a inauthenticity, like it just, there's that disconnect with myself. So then I think that kind of like put that really, that resistance, like disconnection with my own personal power. So as I'm in the process of wanting to start my own business, I really feel there's a lot of like resistance or like I experience a lot of challenges with that. And as I'm reading the book, there's something that you said, our energy must be congruent with our intention to be authentic. And that's like, having such a challenge to be authentic because I wasn't aware that my energy or how I perceive or express my energy is not incongruent with my natural being. Mm-hmm. And so for this is just like kind of like a hot moment as I go through this exercise. So the thing that I am naturally or not naturally, but I'm doing good is that I'm good at responding appropriately in different environments and relationships, respecting the structure of that culture or society, and what I'm having challenge with is concentrating on your own pleasure and experiences rather than monitoring the reactions of others, and then that is connected to my solar plexus.
Beautiful. Yeah, really great awareness. And that last thing that you just named about, you know, monitoring the reactions of others. So often we can get caught up when we sit with a client and thinking to ourselves, gee, what am I going to say after they stop talking? You know, well, how am I going to respond to this? We're thinking about ourselves and how we want to respond to them rather than still listening to them in present time. As soon as we start to do that, we're not in present time. We're in our own agenda. We're in our own fears. We're in our own story. And we've lost, you know, being able to really be present and aware of them in that moment. So that's a great awareness of the solar connection to the solar plexus, a connection to, you know, what would happen if I just let go. As we strengthen each of these chakras, develop and grow, as we learn how to become more conscious, then and relaxed in our ability to be with our more fully with ourselves and therefore with another person, more comfortable with the whole range of emotions that we might have been uncomfortable with certain of before, then it's so much easier to just be in present time with our client and to respond. And this is all what you will learn as you move through the TEH program, because we're going to learn how to, first of all, what it means to be able to be fully present with yourself, how to expand your capacity for feeling all those uncomfortable feelings that threatened our sense of survival that are completely subconscious, that we, you know, those are all the shoulds and the should nots that we do. I know I shouldn't be afraid of this. I know I should be able to be stronger here. I know I should know how to respond when so-and-so does this. I know I shouldn't be a coward about speaking up. All those shoulds are avoiding certain feeling sensations that were wired to our history of something that was scary as a kid that happened to us. That we don't think about those things because we're adults now. But what we do think is, I should know better. I should be like this. I shouldn't be like that. And there's a reason we have all those shoulds and should nots, and we have those limitations. And those are what we address first in the awakening retreat. And then we go into the five personality patterns, where you start to really understand why and how certain patterns were formulated for you that are in your way. And they're going to help you to understand how to respond to your clients. So already you're getting some of that just with four space and time. Okay, if you know you have a client who's really gradual and you're really sudden, you might want to adapt a little bit. You might want to slow down a little bit, or you might want to speed up a little bit. So Kimberly, I wanted to save you till last because I'd love you to kind of see in with what you're sharing and what you've heard with the group share of how you might want to tie this into the physiology of trauma or anything you want to, you know, segue into with regards to that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Threw that at you there.
Yeah. Well, I love, Ruby, how beautifully you articulated that awareness of you're not being authentic, and that it was a survival mechanism for you, right? It was a way that you were able to adapt to your surroundings and your situation to stay safe. And so as Laura said, really that's coming up in future modules, where we're going to learn more about the how and why we adapted the way we did in our own defensive patterns. And for some of us, it was simply stressful situations, but for some of us, it was more of a traumatic situation. And so with my course, we're going to learn the difference between stress and trauma, and what happens, how our physiology shifts from the kind of fight or flight response of dealing with a stressor versus the total overwhelm and freeze that happens with more of a trauma situation. So my class is going to give you more awareness around the physiology that happens when we move from stress into a more severe trauma state, and then some tools on how to become aware of the pattern and how to kind of rewire into a pattern that's more useful in the present moment. So we'll talk about, again, more past stress and trauma, how that wires us into a pattern to deal with and survive the situation that often then as adults isn't very effective. And then we can learn to be aware of that and rewire it. And that changes our, not only our behaviors, but our physiology, literally. So there's so much evidence now that points towards that early childhood stress and trauma. I call it toxic stress and trauma, wires our system, our nervous system, and then therefore our hormonal system and our organ systems, our cardiovascular, our immune system, all of our systems are responding to the world as if it's still under this toxic stress or trauma, and that causes illness as adults. So to learn a little bit about the physiology of that and how to be aware of it and rewire it really can change our health drastically. So my goal is to help you have some understanding of that physiology, the energy and the physiology of trauma, and some tools and ability to support your clients and yourself, but also your clients when you're noticing that you've moved past a stressor and you're really in a more serious state of trauma, which can really lead to illness as adults.
Thank you, Kimberly. That was a great nutshell for us. You know, one of the things I also want to add is May 14th to 16th, and I'd love you to jot those dates down because that's when we're actually going to have our live in-person 3-day retreat at the Ancient Yoga Center in Austin, Texas, May 14th to 16th. And so all of this work that Kimberly just talked about and that I've been talking about, it's a huge difference when you have the experience of it, the in-person experience of it, which is what will happen in those 3 days. You'll get that. And that will catapult your learning capacity for the other modules that will follow. So I would love you to put those dates down and put it on your wish list calendar. And also know, for those of you who are in NEPT, it piggybacks exactly with Rita Marie's retreat. So after those 3 days follows the NEPT retreat. So just try to plan to come 3 days earlier so that you can do both. So I would, I want to do a little closing guided imagery exercise before we finish today, to finish today. And before I do that, I just want to acknowledge the depth of the sharing that you all just gave. And thank you for your openness, your honesty, and your, you know, just to be able to name where we are, what we are working on, where we are working, and how we are working on ourselves can be hugely healing when, especially when it's received by a non-judgmental community. So who was it who said, I have trouble receiving? I think a couple of you mentioned that. So right now, I would love you to look around again at everybody's face and just receive the non-judgmental healing, the acceptance. Jen, you have to take off your sunglasses to do that. Thank you. And just receive what's coming towards you from everybody. And the acceptance, the unconditional positive regard and acceptance for who you are and what you shared anyway. You know, we all have these human imperfections and things that we're striving toward and working on. And so just receive that in, breathe it in. This is just a beautiful, safe community. We're really starting to get to know each other more deeply. And this was our third class, our kind of a turning point class. And so we're at the halfway mark here today. So just notice what that feels like. And I love the smiles that I'm seeing and just the sweetness that I'm feeling myself as I look at all of you taking that in, receiving that. So even if the mind comes in and goes, yeah, right, okay, I can't feel anything, that's okay. Just say hello to the mind. It's all right. Just notice it. I like to pet my mind when it does that. I just pet it. Okay, I hear you. I hear you. It's okay. All right. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid yet. I'm just going to just pet the mind. Right? I hear you. I hear your doubter. It's all right. It's all right. So we're going to calm that one down, right? This is just part of our history. You know, like it's not safe to feel. It's not safe to receive or question it or be skeptical of it, whatever it is. Okay. So let's do a little guided meditation now. So just close your eyes for a minute. Take a deep breath. A lot of really profound sharing happened here. And a lot of self-revealing happened here. So I want you to just take a minute to reflect on a situation where you named the boundaries that you struggle with. So I want you to just reflect on a moment in time where you had that struggle happen for you, whether it's about receiving or whether it was about, you know, giving over too much of yourself, whatever it might have been. I want you just to kind of recall that moment like you would be looking at a movie that you saw already. So imagine you're looking at a movie that you saw already where you noticed that struggle with a boundary that you had. But now as you look at that moment, frozen in time moment, I want you to really scan your body as you look at your body in that movie moment. What was it feeling? What happened to your energy? Was it pulled up or out of certain chakras? What were you actually experiencing that you might not have even noticed at the time? Just scan the movie picture. And what was the energy like between you and that other person? Were you in push, pull, stop, or allow? Were they in push, pull, stop, or allow? What were the thoughts in your mind? Where was your body weak or constricted or tight or in overwhelm? And now I want you to just imagine that you're creating a new movie, a different story than that one. And in this movie, in this story, there's a different outcome. And those chakras that might have been weak are now really strong. And your energy is really centered and balanced. And you are really in your essential self. And notice how your breathing changes to do that. And notice how the energy dynamics between you and this person shift. And just imagine that not only are those chakras and energy centers strong, but you're happy. You feel good. You feel powerful and open-hearted. And just notice what that feels like. And when you feel ready, you can take a deep breath and then just slowly open your eyes. So I'm going to ask for in our closing for you just to share like maybe one sentence about what that was. So we'll have to do this fairly quickly since we only have 5 minutes left. So Jessica, do you want to start us off one more time?
Okay, sure. It's hard to put words to it. Release. Comes.
Beautiful. Thank you. Jill.
Greater peace.
Nice. Angelica.
I felt when I changed the movie, more faith in the higher power.
Nice. Thank you. Okay. Ruby. You're on mute.
Oh, okay. So what comes to mind is anything is possible. So I think empowered.
Nice. Great. Anything is possible. Martha.
I hit a list of realizations and awareness that some problem solving can start.
Beautiful. Thank you. Michelle.
But lighter.
Great. Heidi.
I felt a sense of confusion turning into a sense of strength and power and flow and a creating of a container of safety around both myself and the other person.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Lynn.
I went from a space of fear to kind of stake in the ground, iron rod up my spine straight.
Nice. Great. Thanks. Valerie.
Calmness.
Great. Chris.
Peace and hopeful.
Thank you. Debbie.
Reintegrating and grounding.
Beautiful. Laura.
I went from a state of stop to being open, joyful, flowing, and laughing.
Great. Kimberly.
Strength.
Beautiful. Okay, so I'm really touched by the work today. Thank you, everybody, so much. I will, feel free to email me or contact me if you have any questions about anything. In the meantime, I would encourage you to, get some individual work, experience what this work is like in individual sessions. I will have that special going on for 3 sessions throughout the duration of our course. And email me with any questions you might have in the meantime. And I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Lynn and Kimberly, if I can stay on with you two for just a minute, that would be great. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.